We are preparing ourselves for the end of our church year. Next week, we have the final week of the year, Feast of Christ the King, and we are focusing on the end of time. It's a kind of an unpopular topic, the end of the world, and attributed to maybe those people who are crazy, think that the world's going to end. But it is also a very clear teaching of our faith that our blessed Lord, Christ the King, will come again. We believe that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We pray that every week in our creed, that he will certainly come again. And so this is why we have this meditation in the Gospel of St. Luke, where Jesus is talking about that very thing, the end of the world. And people are asking him when this will happen. And what Jesus tells them to do is to persevere. He says, "See that you don't be deceived. Many are going to come in my name, saying, 'I'm he,' and the time has come, and do not follow them." We're not supposed to act like crazy people, go hide under a rock when Jesus comes. But instead, we are to be ready by living our faith constantly. We know that nation will rise up against nation. We know that there will be powerful earthquakes, famines, plagues, and awesome sights in the sky. These things shake the world, and it's usually where the cameras are pointed, and it brings great consternation to our hearts. In these moments, Jesus encourages us to persevere. For the person who has all of their desires and all of their hopes in the things of this world, it's a devastating time. And it's a time of utter chaos. We need to watch that attitude in our hearts when we want the things of this world, when we're interested only in political success, when we're interested only in the latest news. We can become, like St. Paul says, busybodies, getting in the affairs of everyone else. St. Paul says, "While I was with you, I focused on what I was supposed to do, to eat your own food, not to get into the affairs of others." When we have our sights focused just on this world, when the end comes, that is a teaching of our faith, it can be devastating. And we can begin to experience that devastation even now in our lives when our sights are focused on the things of this world. When we think that our sins and our selfish desires can really please us, we begin to see this is not true. This is where the earthquake in our own lives can happen. There is, on the other hand, those who firmly believe and know confidently, and not with any craziness, that Jesus is going to come, and that he is coming, and they're praying for his coming. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're actually asking it from God. There's a big difference between these two people. The one who has their eyes set on the things of this world, the desires in this world, and those who have their eyes set on God. Big difference. And it's seen, the contrast is seen in that first reading that you heard from the book of the prophet Malachi. Those people who have their sights set on the world are spoken of first. "Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and evildoers will be stubble. And the day is coming that will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch." All the roots that they put in this world, all of the branches that bore the fruits of the things in this world that they wanted to have and to keep, when the sun rises, it's like a blazing oven, and it destroys all of these things that they had put their hope in. And the second part of the reading reflects on those who are looking for Christ. "But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays." You can see that it's the same reality for both the wicked and those who are good. It's a burning fire. It's great light. those who had their sights set on the things of this world and having it their way in this world. They were burnt, blazing like an oven, leaving neither root nor branch. The same people who were doing what is good also received the light. But what happened? It became for them the healing rays, those rays that are lifted up. I thought of this as I drove through Yellowstone Park earlier this year. It was a part of the forest that was all burnt. It was all burnt out. And yet there were popping up in the forest, in all of the carnage there, on the forest bottom there, new life. The little green trees popping out, looking for the sunlight. There's a difference for those who hope in Christ and live their life as if he is coming again, because he truly is. They live a different life. They don't hold their noses up, if you will, to other people, but bow humbly in difficult moments and in good moments, bowing humbly under God's almighty hand. They are awaiting the Lord who comes to rule the world with justice. And today, November 17th, the church remembers St. Elizabeth of Hungary. She died when she was only 24, but she did amazing work in those years. She was not a religious. She was a laywoman, a queen who had a lot of gifts, a lot of blessings from God in her life. She bore 3 children into the world. And after her husband died, she continued to do what she had done from the beginning of her life, and that was to serve the poor and to be fervent in her prayers. Long before there were hospitals, St. Elizabeth of Hungary, who had a few extra castles to spare, that would be nice to have that problem. She had an extra castle, and she turned that castle into a hospital for the most wretched people in society, and they would come. And she cared for them, and her spiritual director said that she actually took the most miserable of all those people, and she would carry them on her shoulders. She would carry them around and help them to get where they needed to go. St. Elizabeth of Hungary is to be recognized, especially for the way that she divested herself of the great gifts that she had for the benefit of the poor, but especially because of how she kept her eyes on that light, that sun of justice, which Malachi tells us will arise. She did so very humbly. God can take whatever means that we have or don't have and make us great saints. In this case, Elizabeth of Hungary had great means, and she always used those means for the greater glory of God and of those who are most in need. I want to tell you what her spiritual director wrote about her when she would go to prayer. Apart from all of the active works, this priest writes about St. Elizabeth of Hungary, "I declare before God that I have seldom seen a more contemplative woman." So this priest had seen priests and religious all the time. And yet he said, this laywoman wasn't a priest, it wasn't a sister, that he had hardly seen anybody more prayerful than she was. Something to think about. When she was coming from private prayer, some religious men and women often saw her face shining marvelously and light coming from her eyes like the rays of the sun. So she would be in her pew just like you are. She wouldn't raise her head up and say, I'm better than everybody else. She bowed humbly, much like the tax collector in the gospel the other day, who wouldn't even lift up his head to heaven, but said, have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. This woman who did so much good, who had so much power, lived so humbly before Almighty God. And this last sentence, so important. Before her death, her spiritual director says, I heard her confession. Now, this is a woman who had light coming from her eyes. What was she doing going to confession? She was living humbly before Almighty God and recognized, small though they may be, her offenses before Almighty God and was forgiven. How wise of an example it is for us to look at St. Elizabeth of Hungary and those like her. As we think about the end of the world and when our Lord is coming again, rather than standing up and holding our heads above other people, to bow ourselves humbly under Almighty God, especially as we come to Holy Mass and we receive Him in the Holy Eucharist, we receive the same thing, the same person that St. Elizabeth of Hungary received as she prayed humbly. All of those gifts are open to you and to I. How many of us, though, will be humble before Almighty God and look for those things that are to come rather than to the things of this world? Jesus is truly coming to us. He will come. Let's prepare our hearts now to receive Him with great humility and with great hope.